everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Mindset Mill podcast. Today, I'm joined with a very special guest. I am joined with Matt Strong from the Physique Collective. He is an awesome online coach and also a man who has had many different kind of jobs throughout his life, a background in the sporting industry. And as well as that, he has been in the corporate world working very, very hard in sales. So if there is someone who can deal with stress and overwhelm, I think we are speaking to the right person. So Matt, I'll just allow you to introduce a little bit of your background so that everyone who's listening can understand who you are and where you come from.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on. So I'm Matt Strong. I'm an online coach. I'm a quarter of the Physique Collective. Hopefully you've heard of us. If you've not, we're like a membership site, which is dedicated to, I guess, the science of physique development and putting that across in the most easy to understand way. Because as you know, the industry is quite rogue with some of the suggestions out there. So as you said there, my background's pretty weird. So I've got a background, my master's is in sports science. I did an undergrad and a postgrad in sports science. I used to work in professional sport as a strength and conditioning coach. I had to leave that, unfortunately, just due to some family stuff. And end up going into the sales world for some reason. So I was in that for about 11 years. Finished up being a regional manager. So I was basically running a southern sales force, quite a few people working for me. So yeah, a couple of roles within that. And then in terms of my personal side of things, I don't compete in bodybuilding, anything like that. I play a decent level of sport and a couple of things. I'm used to compete in powerlifting, but to be honest, I just absolutely love training, nutrition, everything that goes with it, sort of all the self-development side of it. And I think going into sort of today, I absolutely love anything to do with mindset, psychology. If anyone's ever seen anything I do, I talk a lot about this kind of stuff because I really think it underpins everything we do. I think a lot of people struggle because it's not that they don't necessarily know what to do. It's because they struggle to apply it. And I would suggest you probably see the same as most of your clients. It's the same as mine. So the lifestyle guys, they almost hamstring themselves by overthinking or running themselves in situations. And you and I were having a laugh about the fuck it button. And I think so many people just press it. And I think it's the mindset stuff which underpins everything that we do. So yeah, when you said come on, I was like, absolutely, please get me on there. I love this, my favorite topic. So happy to chat. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Honestly, I'm super excited for this chat because I used to be the queen of the fuck it button. It was my favorite one to press. Obviously, because I've come from a very weird background of being previously overweight, not understanding anything about fitness, nutrition, doing everything in terms of like crash dieting, yo-yoing, just everything the wrong way, right? And then also I went into the corporate world where my life was so incredibly busy that I just felt massively stressed and overwhelmed with all of that pressure that was on me. And it's only through self-development, through mindset work, that I've realized all of these techniques that I now am teaching to my clients so that they can actually live a balanced life where they're doing what they need to do and maintaining that consistency, regardless of like the stresses and the overwhelm which life throws at them. And this paired with also your background, Matt, as well as the fact that you do all of this mindset and self-development work, I just thought that this was going to be massively useful and something that we can direct like all of our clients to when they feel like everything is really, really getting on top of them. So a lot of the issues that I think my clients deal with is balancing career and almost like other life responsibilities. Like I work with a lot of parents. I work with a lot of people who have to care for others. They have these responsibilities outside of work. And then they've also got high pressure jobs. And then they're also trying to stay committed and work towards changing their lives, changing their physiques. So when everything seems to be going like tits up, they are just like, they almost get like paralysis by overanalysis because they don't even know where to start. So this is where we have to really strip things back and allow them to actually just look at getting their ducks in a row and then choosing which duck they're going to shoot first, essentially. So I kind of would be interested to hear in terms of when it comes to your lifestyle clients or even, you know, your competitors who might be dealing with the same, because at the end of the day, if you don't put your prep as one of the first things that is on that priority list, it probably is going to be a little bit of a bumpy one. But how do you coach your clients through this where they're feeling massively stressed?
There's a couple of sides of that. I thought I'd just firstly say I was a fat kid as well, so I know the struggle. I understand this one, but yeah, there's a couple of sides to go on here. I wrote down a few notes when we said we were going to come on, and I think the first thing when someone's overwhelmed is really at that point your only opportunity with a client, and you probably have this, they message you and they're overwhelmed and they're panicking, they've got all these things going on, they're trying to juggle it. at that point, your only option is to be reactive. It's like, okay, how can we deal with this situation now? And then you can put a few things in place down the line once you sort of resolve that immediate problem. So the first thing I say to people is, look, this is completely normal to feel like this. Because they often have this like guilt and shame spiral. Oh, I shouldn't feel this bad. I should be able to do this. I should. And as you know, feeling guilt, feeling shame about what you're doing, it doesn't help you at all. It makes you more likely to stop what you're doing, unfortunately. And I think firstly, just actually having a bit of empathy for that person, saying, look, it's completely normal to feel like this. These are normal emotions, process them, but let's find a way to move forward, because unfortunately, feeling bad for ourselves doesn't really do anything, but just keep us where we are. So we need to acknowledge that, but then think, okay, how can I move forward? And I use like a little trifecta of things with my clients, and I sort of go through them if you want. So first thing I just say, right, first and foremost, when we've got a problem, and let's just say we've got all the same instance you were talking about of trying to manage all these factors in our life, I would say, let's just zoom out and take a step back and almost just imagine you're like on Google Earth. You can just zoom up and you can sort of, you look at yourself on street view from the top, zoom up and just go, right, how much does this shit that you're worrying about right now actually matter? Like, you might be flapping that you're stuck in traffic and you've got to be somewhere. You think, like, zoom out. What does this actually matter? Like, really, it matters to you in this very moment, but in the whole context of your life, how much does this matter? Have a breather, put this in perspective, zoom out and just think, does this shit that you're worrying about right now matter? If it does, we need to think about it. The likelihood is 90% of the time, the thing that you're worrying about is irrelevant. And I'm not trying to mock anyone or say, look, you shouldn't be worried about it, but just gain some perspective. And I just call it a zoom out. That's one of the things I like to do. Secondly, I go, right, let's put this thing in. We've got some perspective now. Can I actually control this thing? Right? Is there an opportunity for me to do anything about it? Or is it completely out of my control? And again, I always use traffic as a one because people get really fucked off about sitting in traffic. Sorry, can I swear as much as I do, by the way?
You can swear however much you want. This is my podcast, and there's a whole lot of that goes on.
Yeah, I'm absolutely terrible for swearing, so I do apologise right now. So I always think, can I control this? Right. So you always think about traffic. You sat in traffic, and everyone gets stressed in traffic. You sat there going, oh, fuck, I need to be somewhere. I can't control any of this shit, so why am I getting pissed off about it? I can still get annoyed, but when you, like, again, zoom out, can I control it? Well, no, I can't. And actually, it doesn't really matter. You can sort of get a handle on your emotions and get a handle on that situation a lot better than just sat there stressing. You're obviously still going to feel those things, but you can sort of put it in its right box. That belongs here. And there's some stuff you can control. You can control like your response, your reactions. You can control certain elements in your life. There's a load of stuff we can never control. And I bang on about stoicism all the time. And essentially, that's their main tenet is, can I control this or can I not? And most of the stuff that happens in your life is probably out of your control and not even worth worrying about. So I do that for those things. And the final one's a little bit harder. And I say, this is something I talk about. I get from James Clear mentions it. A lot of people talk about this is, how would the very best version of me want to deal with this and want to react? And does it align with that character? And the likelihood is you flapping about a situation and feeling all these overwhelmed symptoms, it probably doesn't align with who you want to be because there's other things you should have potentially done before this point to make this not happen. So kind of use that three-pronged approach. And once you do that, also it gives you a chance to have a breather. Once you start thinking about that, you have a breath, you can usually step back and actually see it for what it is rather than, it's like driving a car super quickly. If you're going really fast, everything's going past you in a blur and you're panicking, just slow down, stop the car. Okay, let's get some perspective. Let's see if we can control this and see what I would be doing this if it was the very best version of me acting forward.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. There we have it, ladies and gents. That's your anti-fuck it trifecta. Like, nice and simply put. It's really, really good. And to be honest, I've just listened to that has been a little bit soothing for me, right? Because take an example, I think it was a couple of days ago, I had an awful leg session, right? I went into train legs. I was trying to hype myself up for it because my DOMS were terrible. And then every fucker in the gym was hugging all of the equipment. I couldn't use anything I wanted to. And I went out of that gym absolutely fuming. And that kind of like zoom out approach where you're like, will this matter in 5 years' time? Did I give my best today, even though my best looks different every single day? And ultimately, do I want to respond like this and be hot-headed for the rest of the day just because something that was out of my control in terms of everyone spending ages on the leg equipment that I needed to use, is that really going to make me angry for the rest of the day? And yes, maybe it took me half an hour or so to cool down, but I got there eventually, right? And I just picked things up and I was like, right, tomorrow is a new day, so things will be okay.
I think you absolutely nailed it there. It's like you can still feel pissed off in the moment, but you can also rationalize that. I think it's when you let that thing in your head take control, you're going like fuming. And you just had a really long flight over to Mexico, right? And you, this is where you see people lose their shit, is long-haul flights. And like you get a flight cancelled. I remember a couple of years ago, I was flying back from Thailand and I had a flight cancelled and I was in Moscow airport for 18 hours. And my mate I was at the time was going mental. And I was like, what's stressing about? There's nothing we can do. And I was laughing because I was like, well, there's nothing we can do. So might as well have a laugh. So I just went to sleep. And he was sat there the entire time fuming. And I was like, how does that make it any better? It only makes the situation worse.
Absolutely. I think there's actually something really important to talk about there. And this is something which I learned through my years of having struggled with inflammatory bowel disease, right? So my inflammatory bowel disease, autoimmune condition, where my digestive system decides to kill itself and attack itself, that immune response is always triggered by stress. And if there's anything that's taught me to be zen as absolute fuck, it's the fear of if I continue to get stressed and continue to put stress on myself, I'm going to end up sick. And so many people have this in the form of different kind of conditions. Sometimes they manifest themselves physically, like some people might have, I don't know, psoriasis, or they might have different kind of inflammatory conditions, and it can get worse with that stress. So it's almost like you've got to think about, if you're continuously stressing over all of this minutia which you haven't been able to control, and actually the bigger picture when you zoom out, it really doesn't make that much of a difference. You're actually putting your body under more physical and mental strain over years, and that's inherently exactly what you're not trying to do when you're trying to improve your health.
Yeah. I mean, there's one thing I was going to add on as well, Millie, and that was, this is going to sound, I've talked about this loads of times, but everyone always goes, when I first start saying it, they're like, oh my God, this is morbid. But you're going to get what I'm getting at as I go. So I always like to tell people and make it very clear, we are all going to die. We are all going to die. And nothing that we really ever do is going to matter. Like we're not going to leave a legacy. We're not going to do any of that sort of stuff, right? And I don't mean this in a nihilistic point of view, like what's the fucking point? I mean this in terms of, why are you worrying about shit like this? Do you know what I mean? It's like, this shit does not matter. You are going to die. And the sooner we realize that this life is finite, we don't get another chance at this, you could die tomorrow. It really, I feel, it puts things into perspective. You really think about it and just say, is this thing worth my time to stress about? Like, I could be living my absolute best life, seeing people, telling them I love them, doing things that spark joy in my life, but yet I'm worried about, oh, my husband brought home the wrong pasta, or I'm stuck in traffic again, or like I had a bad leg session because some fucker was on the leg equipment. You sort of go, I'm going to die. I'm worried about this.
Like, oh my God, I can't believe you got the rigatoni. I meant the other one.
You fucking idiot, right? So,
condolences to anyone, by the way, whose ego has just been shut down, because I'm absolutely gutted that apparently I'm not going to be leaving a legacy. I was thinking, yeah, Millie Stojkovic, coached by Millie, people are going to remember me forever.
I mean, thing is, people remember you if you're dead, but you're dead. you're there to reap the rewards of that. And I always think that's like, I was listening to a thing the other day and they're like, leave a legacy. And I was like, for who? For who am I leaving this legacy for? I was like, but I think it's quite nice to think, like, in a way, once you realise you're the finality of life, you can actually start to live and not worry about the minutiae of stuff. You can just go and like absolutely enjoy the fuck out of life. And I think having that as like my forefront thought for everything, it really makes everything else easier to slot in place.
Absolutely. I think this boils down at the end of the day to sometimes people not understanding what I would tend to refer to as like their core values, right? So like, yes, I might not leave a legacy, but I'm on this planet to do one thing. And that is for me to like live my best life, essentially. Yeah. Now, me living my best life means doing what I love. So for instance, right now in Mexico, I'm traveling, I'm making new experiences, eating good food. But also alongside that, I'm trying to help as many people as I can with the best quality of service, which is why we're here right now educating. And so these are the things that matter, as well as like my bodybuilding journey. So I've kind of got that nailed down into like three separate things. But when it comes to people who are maybe drowning in this external pressure from work and feeling like they have to live up to their boss's expectations and they have to stay past 5 p.m. This is something where I think knowing and setting your boundaries really has to come in. And it's something that I work on so closely with my clients because they just don't know how to say no. And actually, when you say no and you say yes to the things that matter to you, once you've got those priorities and core values nailed down, your life's going to be a whole lot smoother. Like, for instance, Matt, if you were too busy and you didn't have time to do the podcast this week, you would have politely said, sorry, Millie, really busy right now. Maybe another time if it mattered to you. Or otherwise, you probably just wouldn't have responded to my message.
Millie, I would have said, I'll make time because I really want to be on this. Right? That's what I would have done. But yeah, 100% right. I think it's really nice. I call that your mission. You know, you see your core values. I said, like, what's my mission in life? Because have you ever read Viktor Frankl's, Man's Search for Meaning?
No, I haven't.
Basically, it's about, he's a Jewish psychologist. He survived the Holocaust in Auschwitz. And he basically talks about how he used psychological principles to get through it. It's a really amazing book, actually. And he says that, like, everyone needs a mission in life, like a purpose for living. And that's yours. Like, you've clearly defined yours. And I think that's so cool that you've done that, because I think most people don't. And it definitely, it's a reason for you to exist. So my nihilism doesn't extend to not having a mission in life, but I'm really, like, impressed that you've got that, because that's something where I sort of suggest everyone should have that thought process for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing to mention is, once you've kind of, like, got your mission nailed, right, and you know what you're doing, it's those moments, I think, those acute moments of overwhelm that maybe we need to address with a little bit more guidance for people to have that method in terms of what they do. So one of the things that I will get my clients to do very frequently, to the point of sometimes within their coaching app, I will put it as a daily habit for them to tick off if they're really busy people, which is a daily brain dump. You know, you get up in the morning, you write down every single thing that is floating around in your head, even if it's like, I need to take the dog for a walk, I need to put the washing on, whatever the hell it is. And you process all of that onto paper. And then once you've done that, you select the things that you can control and that you can make a difference around. And then you take 3 priorities for the day. Because if you're giving yourself a to-do list, I think to-do lists are a whole load of shit. Like, I've literally got one next to me right now. And just looking at it gives me anxiety, right? Because it's not a priorities list. It's a, this is everything that you need to do. And as very busy people, you're always going to have things added onto that to-do list. So it's like, how can people actually process and get a little bit of, like, catch a breath from feeling like everything is getting on top of them?
That sounds so similar to what I do. Have you heard of an Eisenhower matrix before?
I love an Eisenhower matrix. I think it's the nicer version of a brain dump. But, you know, sometimes people don't want to be drawing charts, so I'll leave them to do it a little bit simpler.
Completely agree. I think, yeah, it's more of my corporate wanker background coming out here. But I'll explain it for anyone that doesn't know what they are. So it's basically, it's 4 boxes. And it's an XY chart. And imagine going urgent, non-urgent, important, non-important. So where it crosses over, you've got, like, important, urgent, important, non-urgent, etc. And you can put all your tasks into that. And it's a really good way of organizing it, because I find that overwhelm stuff comes from non-important, urgent. For example, your phone's going off loads. You've got WhatsApp dinging, your email's dinging, you've got social media dinging. It's urgent because it's happening right now, but it's not important. It isn't going to further your life. But it's got that immediate attention grab. And that's where people get massively overwhelmed, because, like you say, they haven't organized their thoughts. And they've just gone, I'm going to react to everything at once. Like, good luck with that. Like, that's not going to happen. What do you actually need to focus on? That? And that's the important, often the important non-urgent stuff that needs to get done, is the stuff that people ignore. Urgent, important happens all the time. Like, if your kid's got ill and has to go to hospital, that's important, urgent, you're going to get that done. That takes priority over everything. But unfortunately, we often get sidetracked with the urgent, non-important stuff, where that isn't really, as the name suggests, not that important.
Absolutely. I think a book that goes into this really, really well, it is by Grace Beverly, who's obviously also in the fitness industry. She owns, like, the Tala and the Shreddy brand. And she wrote this book called Working Hard or Hardly Working. And she built these 2 businesses whilst doing her degree at Oxford. And so this is what she used to actually be able to get her shit done every single day. So if that doesn't, like, motivate people to actually go and read her book and also take a little bit of inspiration to use something like this, then I think it definitely would help. And the other thing for me, which is really important to add into that kind of, like, important non-urgent section, is delegation. Right, who else can I get to do this for me, right? Because I have it all the time, like with mums who are like, I've got to do X, Y, and Z, I've got to pick up the kids from school, I've got to make their lunch boxes, I've got to do this. I'm like, what's your husband doing, please? Like, what's the man doing? Is he going to give you a couple of hours in the day where you can get your training session in? Is that okay? Have you had the conversation with him? And they say, well, no, I haven't asked, because it's the social norm, actually, for women to just feel like they have to take everything on.
I was about to say exactly this. There's a societal pressure on females where you've got so, like, I feel sorry, but that's the wrong word. I've got a lot of sympathy for the situation where, especially, like I say, women with children, I need to almost be a martyr. And it's like, I shouldn't be allowed to look after myself because society says my kid has to come first and I need to be in charge of the household. Like, no, like you're more than your rights to put yourself first because you're going to be a better parent for that. Like you said, what the fuck's your husband doing? Right? What's he doing in this situation? Oh, he's sat there expecting a meal on the table. What, are we in 1920s? Like,
yeah.
You know you can vote as well, right? Like,
it's brilliant.
Because I find this whole stuff like baffling. Like, I look at it's a very old, but it's these thought processes still in society. Like my sister's ex-husband, probably going to slag him off on fucking podcast now, but fuck it. He's like, "Where's my dinner?" You're like, mate, you can fucking cook. And it's the same thing. Like, again, what are they doing? How are they delegating? How are they helping? And I do feel like women have kind of got the short end of the stick a little bit in this societal side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really, really tough for me to sometimes have to get people to have these difficult conversations, even when it comes to like, my boyfriend always brings home loads of chocolate at the end of the night because he loves to sit and eat chocolate and order pizza. And then he does the same for me and he asks whether I want some and he almost puts it in my lap. And I'm like, okay, one thing, he's not forcing it down your throat, but also, where are you setting your boundaries in terms of saying, do you know what, this doesn't align with my values. I will be a better version of me if you allow me to pursue my goals. It's those difficult conversations, and people really struggle to have these difficult conversations, which will in the end reduce their stress and it will reduce their overwhelm. So that's something which, you know, is another thing which I'll probably even go into in depth on another podcast, is to how to actually speak up for yourself and have this conversation with someone where you can delegate, where you can get that removal of stress and overwhelmed, or just prevent them sabotaging your journey and to support it instead.
I think there's that expectation thing, isn't there? Is people always talk about love languages, right? They always talk about, oh, this is how I communicate in a love language. And it's almost become a little thing on the internet. But I think everyone's got their own language of communication, right? Like, the way your value system works is different to mine. Unless you can communicate that correctly, you're always going to miss each other. You're always going to, like, your path is always going to miss. And for example, say they might view, if you don't eat the chocolate, that you don't love them. So I'm using extreme examples, right? But you're saying, no, I appreciate that, but I don't want to eat the chocolate because it doesn't align with my values. Unless you explain that and you take the time to actually understand and appreciate their point of view while also making sure they understand and appreciate yours, you're never going to meet. And this is where people don't have these conversations. And like you say, they can be tough ones. Unless you set expectations on people and like explain yourself, understand theirs, and get you to see each other's point of view, you're never going to understand each other. So trying to get those conversations is difficult. And again, that's another proactive side of things you can take, is own those conversations. And that part of that is like, know when to say yes, know when to say no. And I love when you said about saying no. There's a quote from Mark Manson. He says, unless it's a fuck yes, it's a fuck no.
Yeah, I think there's another one which I've heard, which is like, unless you have a supportive partner, you don't really have any partner at all, because they've also got to make sure that they are 100% in on what you want, because at the end of the day, you're here to live your life for you. And having someone in your life should only enhance that. And I don't just mean partners, I mean friends, I mean your whole circle and environment around you, which is really important. So just kind of like tailing back a little bit to the Eisenhower matrix, I think it's important that people actually take something tangible away from that, which is also, say, for instance, they feel like they've figured out what is urgent, right? What's important, what is urgent. And let's say they're in a situation where they have still loads to do, and maybe they can't fit that into their day, or they can't fit it into their week, or they can't see how to do it. One of the most important things here, if we're talking about clients and they've got a coach, is where you said, you know, we have to be reactive and help our clients work through a situation when they speak up about it. It happens so often that people just sit there and struggle in silence because they feel like that's actually something embarrassing. Like, they can't just, you know, say, hey, Millie, I'm really struggling with having to deal with all of this and I haven't got a clue how to tackle it. And it comes to their check-in, and let's say they've had a whole week of going off track, yet if they messaged me the day when it happened, we could have got them back on track and it would have been an extra 5 days of consistency. So how do we get clients to feel comfortable with putting their hand up and running to us rather than away from us?
That's a very difficult one, isn't it? Because I think you've got a number of factors behind that. So I'm going to take a little bit of tangent away and I'll come back. So if you look at Instagram, social media, it's always obsessed with like perfection. You've got to be perfect. And you've done a few posts on this, like, what the fuck is even perfect, right? I know Amelia Thompson's done a lot of talk on what is perfect, but you've got these perfect bodies, eating perfect, team no days off, all this shit. So the entire backdrop for everyone's thought processes is typically, I need to be the same. And you've got a lot of coaches as well. Like, our industry is obviously really good on some part. Like, I know some absolutely amazing coaches. There's also a lot of people that will berate and tell people off for doing that. And obviously, if that's the norm, they're not going to want to speak up and talk. And I think the first thing I always make it very clear to my clients is if you can't do something, the likelihood is it's my fault, right? And this is something I always did with when I worked with my sales forces, as the first thing you do in sales is bollock your sales folks so they can't do something. Well, I always said to them, look, guys, if you can't do it, this is probably my fault. So there's always, I always think three elements is if you can't do something, say you're struggling to adhere, you're struggling to speak to me, I've either not set an expectation very well on what we're meant to be doing, I've not created a comfortable environment for you to be able to speak and talk, I've not given you the skills and the tools to be able to do that. If I've given you all of that and you still can't do it, then obviously we need to have a talk. But the likelihood is that's my fault. And as a coach, I think the first thing we need to do is, as opposed to pointing the finger at the client, is actually approaching this with some empathy and also some self-admission and saying, you know what, this is actually probably my fault. And I would always lead the conversation with that and say, look, I've probably not done a very good job here. Can you help me help you, basically? And almost take the blame off them. And for me, that's always worked really well, is say, like, okay, obviously the situation, it hasn't gone the way we wanted to. It's obviously I've done something wrong or I've not explained it properly. Can I explain this again? Can we find a way where you're definitely going to understand that this is a safe space, we can talk about this, but whatever the situation may be. But the first thing I try and do is, again, have some empathy and blame myself, because, like I say, the likelihood is this is my fault.
Yeah, I think it's really, really nice to actually hear that, because there's this thing when it comes to coaches who are so proud. And if something isn't done the way that they want it to be done, or if communication isn't the way that they want it to be done, then they will kind of like get their backs up. Yeah, I will, whenever I have a client who will come to me and say, this isn't really working for me, or my goals have changed, or can we adapt things? I'm literally always like, thank you for letting me know. Because if you're being made to do coaching, which doesn't fit you, and you're trying to fit the coaching, it's not going to be sustainable and you're going to keep fucking up. And then when you've got those expectations of I should be doing X, which isn't even feasible, and you keep falling short of it, you're setting yourself up for, you know, sadness and feeling like you have failed. So that's a really, really important thing, is it gives your coach so much help as well when you are really clear on what you are struggling with or what you are managing. And then also it gives your coach more reason to be able to say, hey, I'm sorry if I haven't understood that you're struggling. Let's have more frequent touch points and figure out how we can work through this and I can support you best.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's something like you see quite a lot is, if say a client said, I massively overate on this day, I said, look, absolutely no judgment whatsoever. I said, let me understand why that happened. Like, just talk me through what happened. And like, I want to know more. The more you realise that you're in a safe space, the more like you like to talk. And I always think back to, like, do you know when I was a kid, my mum used to say to me, tell me and I won't get mad. She used to go fucking mental. I was like, you honestly think I'm going to tell you again? No chance. So like, it's all about that first reaction, isn't it? If the first reaction is done with empathy, trying to actually help the person, they'll continue to open up and share. If your action is to berate, well, guess what they're going to do? They're not going to tell you anything. Yeah, it was a perfect week. Yeah. What do you expect?
Yeah, it's one of those where I think you have to strike a fine balance as a coach. Like, I'm always very fair but firm, in my opinion. Like, the first few times that things don't go well, fair enough. But if things keep cropping up and it's perhaps something where you have given, you know, X, Y, Z solution all the time and it doesn't seem to work, well, then it strips back to, are your goals actually in line with, you know, what you truly want or what you're truly willing to sacrifice? And then that's a completely separate situation or conversation to be had. But 9 times out of 10, if you are super in line with your goals, there is a way. There is a bloody way. And you and I have been through all of these different clients, we've been through our own experiences, and we can always find a way that suits that individual.
Absolutely. Well, again, it goes back to the point of saying, if you've given that person the skills, the tools, the talk, the expectations, if they still can't do it, that's on them. If you've given them everything they need and they still don't do it, then it's time to light a fire up their house and go, right, you're not fucking doing it. And that's where I will start coaching with compassion. But then it's like, right, I'm here to get results for you at the end of the day. And if you're not willing to do it yourself, there's conversation.
Yeah, I actually really like that approach. You know, there's been plenty of times where I've had clients maybe with all the different kind of issues where we've tried to work around things and they haven't maybe been succeeding with, let's say, a fat loss goal. I say, okay, cool. I'm pulling out a fat loss. Now you're going into maintenance phase. Let me teach you how to live a lifestyle and maintain your body weight. And you give them that decision. And then all of a sudden it's something new to focus on and it's kind of something new to tackle. But I feel like that's been like a really useful tangent in terms of for coaches and clients to understand that relationship as to how you can be open with each other. And then when we were talking about how, you know, you've got all of these important urgent priorities that you're still aiming to do. Well, let's say the circumstances that you're in at the time are very, very difficult. Say you've got personal stress, like overwhelm, like these are things that are going on which aren't frequent. Then it's a point of adaptability in my thought process as to if my client, because of whatever they've got going on personally, really cannot get to the gym continuously and they can't maybe go out of the house, let's say, I know it's an injury or whatever, to go and get tons of steps in. Well, then it's time to adapt. So it's also not as if they have to sit there and struggle and feel like they've got everything exactly the same. It's waving that flag to say, okay, this is what's happened. And your coach should make those adaptations for you in terms of what your primary focus needs to be on to still make that incremental progress.
You said something earlier, and that's, you said, I did my very best job on the day. And this, when there is an overwhelmed situation, I think it's moving away from this optimal thought process and going into what's the best that I can achieve in this situation. And I always look at hierarchy. So like in terms of, let's say we're in a fat loss phase, right? And all of a sudden they've got loads of lifestyle issues and all just focus on the diet side. They're like, look, I can't get to the gym and I'm not going to be able to be as adherent tracking my macros. I haven't got time to meal prep. My mum's in hospital, blah, 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 right? All right, what can we do then? Can we just focus on hitting our total caloric intake for the day? Yeah, we could probably do that, right? Can I get my protein intake for the day? Yeah. Can I get some servings of fruits and vegetables per day? Yeah. Focus on that. Don't stress yourself out thinking you've got to have perfect meal timing, this, that, and the other. You don't have to have five meals a day, whatever our optimal looked like before, quote unquote optimal. What can you achieve? And it's the same with the gym, all right? You can't get your four sessions a week in done. Can you get two? Okay, let's adapt those sessions and see what we can do. There's always something we can do. Instead of focusing about what we can't, right? Let's see what we can. We'll strip that back. Again, perfect doesn't exist. Let's focus on what we can do, right? And that, if that's good, that's still better than shit, right? And it's better than, like, as we said before, pressing that fuck it button. Just control exactly what you can. And that's obviously going to be very individual to each circumstance. But sometimes it is just doing the best the very best you can. I think you summed that up really nice at the start.
Yeah, absolutely. It resonates with me so much because literally this morning, like, I messaged my client who's got something going on at the moment. And I said, this week, just nutrition, just steps. I don't want you to worry about anything else. And please get as much sleep as you can, right? And her response to that was, do you know what? Thank you so much, because I find this really comforting. And I know that actually, even with just those two variables of, you know, focusing on my nutrition and my steps, I can actually still make progress with fat loss this week. And it's something where just focusing on that step by step, and it's actually what I spoke about in my last podcast about, you know, instead of viewing everything as you've got this huge long journey to go, your best every single day on that given day is going to be the game changer. And it was the same for me when I flew to Mexico and did 20 hours of traveling. That day, I couldn't have all of my usual prepped meals at exactly the same time on the dot when I'm aiming for optimal, right? So instead, I just got the closest thing that I could buy from the airport shops and track that into my fitness pal and try to get in an equal amount of sleep on the plane. And I walked around the airport a little bit after I found somewhere that I could leave my luggage to get my steps in. So it's like, today is going to be different, but my best today is going to be good enough. And then the difference, I think, that is really important is to celebrate that still and to not be in this mindset of I could have done better or I could have done more. Because when you fall into those negative thinking patterns, you're continuously, always, throughout your whole life, going to think that whatever you do is not good enough and that perfect has to be perfect. But as you've been saying, there is no such thing.
No, there isn't. And I think there's a couple of things that I think I wanted to touch on. Is, I love your post the other day of adaptability. I think it's so important about having that skill set to be able to adapt. I think this is where it becomes almost, you're moving away from the superficial level of coaching to being able to adapt, be able to do the best you can every single day, rather than saying, oh, you have to have five meals, you have to have this amount of grams of protein. Actually giving that client the understanding of why this is important. And it's like, teach a man to fish, he can eat for a day, So give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, teach a man to fish, he can eat the rest of his life. You're giving them the skills to be able to adapt, like the actual understanding of why that works. Add it to that, like, again, some compassion for yourself. And I think there's something I wanted to touch on when you said about that is be very mindful of the way you speak about yourself. And you can always flip things something in. Like, I hear so many people say, oh, I did a really shit job. No, you didn't. You did the best you could. And I said, please don't speak about yourself like that. You wouldn't speak about your best mate like that. So don't speak about yourself. And I see it all, and I'll be honest, I see it more with women than anything else. And it is, I just say, I'm going to stop you there. I said, we could have done something better there. Absolutely. But you did your best. Right. And I don't like people speaking about themselves negatively. The more you celebrate yourself and celebrate your wins, like you said, the happier you're going to be in life. Because otherwise you're always comparing yourself to someone else or a fictional version of yourself. But comparison, as we know, is a thief of joy. If you're constantly comparing yourself to someone else or some shit you see on Instagram and saying, oh, I'm not good enough, you're never going to be fucking good enough. But you can be the best version of you, and you can always treat yourself with enough compassion like you would your best friend.
Yeah, I honestly love that. And it's so true. I literally spoke about it on my story the other day, which is like just this self-compassion. So many people lack it. And it's only something that I realized throughout the last few months, I'm not going to lie, with working with my therapist. And she was like, how do you speak to yourself? And I'm just like, well, come on, Mills, you got to get all of this fucking done. Like, you're a business owner now, you made this choice. And it's like, wait, like, you're having a hard day. Like, it's okay to have a hard day, you're a human. And it's something which I've now really translated over into my coaching. And I think that it almost like, I don't know whether it's overstepping the fitness mark or whatever, but, you know, getting clients to sometimes delve into their self-limiting beliefs and actually be like, okay, so you went and bought all the chocolate last night and you sat there and you ate it and you felt sorry for yourself. Now, tell me a little bit why you feel like you did that. Right. And sometimes you can delve into people realizing that they feel like, oh, they failed X times before, so they're just going to continue to keep failing. And then it's actually stripping all of that back and making sure that they are having that self-belief. And that comes into these situations of overwhelm rather than feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to get all of it done. It's like, okay, I'm a badass bitch. What can I get done today? And I'm going to do my best to make sure that this works. And within the next week, everything I need to do is going to be completed. At least that's the energy that I try and channel with as much as I have going on.
Absolutely love that. I think first and foremost, I think it's awesome that you've got a therapist as well, because I think this, for some reason, there's still this fucking stigma attached to it. And I absolutely fucking hate it. It's, for me, it's a personal training for your mind. You're paying for a coach, but this, your mind is the most important thing that we've got. And yet people go, no, I'm not going to see a therapist. But shut the fuck up. Like, it's the best thing you can send, right? So firstly, well done for that. And also, yeah, absolutely. Like, we should be celebrating all these things. We should be treating ourselves the best and certainly not berating ourselves for not being like perfect. No one has a best day every day. It's getting the best out of yourself on every given day.
Yeah, and it's showing that self-compassion when you need it. For instance, after that terrible gym session, I went home, I had a nap, I freshened up, and I started with, okay, what are my couple of priorities that I can do whilst Millie is feeling 50% today? And we got those done and I had a chilled evening. Did I regret it? No, because my head needed that space. And that's also what I want people to start being okay with is, you know, sometimes I have clients say, Millie, like, bad mental health day, I didn't train today. And it's like, cool, I'm glad that you decided to take time to look after yourself. And this is what I feel that people need to become more comfortable with. Unless you have a pressing kind of situation when it comes to your coaching, such as, I don't know, you're getting photo shoot lean or you're doing a bodybuilding prep where that's when, you know, you have to fight through that mindset. Aside from that, give yourself a fucking break and just do whatever is your best on that day.
I think there's another side of that I wanted to go into. And I completely agree with everything you said. The only thing I would add to that is I see this a lot at the moment when, I don't mean to sound inflammatory towards anyone, but I see a lot of people coming off social media saying, oh, it's getting too overwhelming for me. And they're like, oh, but they're back in a week's time or 2 weeks' time, nothing's changed. Like, you haven't actually worked on the reason that you're feeling like that. And I think when, and I'm seeing this a lot, especially post-lockdown, this is obviously a tangent for another thing, but I think people have becoming too easy to go and hide in their home because of lockdown. It's too easy to hide away and just promote quote-unquote self-care. Because I'm a big proponent of self-care, but it's almost like self-care isn't running away. Self-care is identifying that you've got, there's an issue there. Like you say, maybe today isn't your day. Like, maybe today's the day we don't fucking train and we just do enough to get by. But what then? Like, what next? And that's got to be taking ownership and owning that shit moving forward. For example, the social media thing, right? okay, you can feel shit about social media. Absolutely come off it. If it's making you have a negative self-image or whatever, it's affecting you, absolutely come off it. But then you need to go and address why that's doing that, because you're going to go back. You're definitely going back on it. We all know, you know you're going back on it. So what are you doing in the meantime to actually improve? Because self-care isn't just going home and doing your fucking nails over an eye and like a face mask. It's going, okay, I need to identify why it is that I feel this way. And I actually had a long conversation with someone yesterday about this, saying, whenever there's an issue, you need to really take a good fucking hard look at yourself and say, why do I feel that way? And it's a horrible thing to do sometimes, because you've got to really unravel yourself. But that's what self-care means, is actually looking at yourself, looking at the ugliest parts of yourself and going, actually, that makes me feel like this because of X, Y, or Z. And then facing up to that. And then you've got the skills to say, now I can fucking face it. That's self-care. And that means I can then go and absolutely boss my life, because I'm now in that situation. It's not running away from shit. And I think it, like you said, is some days it's going to be that day, but what next? How do I then get on top of that? So a bit of a tangent there, but it's something I feel very strongly about, is
agree with that. Like, genuinely, it's, for me, I'm kind of thinking like that, you know, to my clients who consider face masks self-care and who are listening, like, sure, that's what happens every day. I think that's what you kind of do, like when you've had a day of things where maybe like you can't control them and things have got tough in that situation. But when you've gone into, you know, talking about I'm ignoring something or I'm putting it off because there's something underlying and I'm just feeling like, oh, life's really hard right now, or oh, it makes me uncomfortable, so I'm just going to choose the easy option out. It's like you're not thinking that, you're in defense mode. So you're just like, okay, that doesn't make me feel good, I'm just going to shy away from it a little bit. And I've had that like literally a couple of times this week where I've said to clients, you know, okay, there's a reason why you're avoiding this. So now I want you to go and explore why you're avoiding it, to go and journal about it. And then when you've got your answer, come to me and we're going to work up a solution. And once they've delved into it, they realize what's holding them back. And then we can craft that solution together. But it is fucking difficult to go and have a little bit of a think in terms of, okay, why am I not actually doing what I know will benefit me? And what am I hiding from? And it's painful, but unless you acknowledge something, that is literally the first step to fixing it, right?
100%. There's a quote from Chris Rock, of all people, right? And it said, talking about helping himself before anything else, he said, when I was at the side of the road, my car broke down, I used to put my thumb out and no one would ever stop. If I pushed my car myself, people would always come and help. And I see, the first thing you need to do is actually acknowledge the fact that you've got to do something about your problem and push on forward. And then the help will come. But the first thing you need to do is actually address the fact that you probably need to do something about it. And I think that's the same for the mindset stuff, is sometimes you just need to say, you know what? I haven't got this covered out. I need to do a bit of work on myself.
Absolutely. And that's, I feel like we've got so many quotes for this podcast.
It's almost terrible, isn't it? We've just literally got millions here. I feel like you and I could talk for ages about this. We've almost got like off track.
I know. We've got tons of quotes. We've got tons of book recommendations. And actually, just like another analogy to leave it on, aside from what you've said there, is, you know, where we're talking about like this whole delegation thing, you know, you put that oxygen mask on yourself first before you put it on anyone else, right? Mm-hmm. So always remembering that you are your number one priority is super important. But I've absolutely loved this podcast. I think it's full of so many gems. And I feel like if I ever have a moment of, you know, approaching the fuck it button, that I'm just going to quickly go back and listen to this trifecta, do the zoom out technique, and I'll be all good. So I'm really, really grateful that you've come on to chat about this, because I know it's going to help so many people.
Oh, it's honestly an absolute pleasure. I was thinking, like, if there's any more things I could sort of do. And I think the only other thing I would say is, like, a bit more proactivity always helps. Like we were saying, like to-do lists and stuff. One thing I found, like you said, they don't work. So I was like, how can I actually like block my time better? And I like to gamify everything. So like, I've got a big whiteboard to my right. It's all my weekly like non-negotiables, and I tick it off and I draw a little smiley face next to it. And that makes me feel like I'm achieving. So it's not a to-do list as such, it's my like non-negotiables. And then I've got to my left, I've got another whiteboard. And I've basically got my daily block, how I block my day off. And I've got like time for deep work, time for like responding to stuff. And that makes it a lot less easier to avoid the overwhelm, because I'm going, I know what I'm doing when. And because it's all time bound, there's a practical way of organising everything. That's the only thing, I'd say is just take, if anyone's struggling with overwhelm, is sort of implement all the other stuff we said, but then take an hour, take 2 hours in this thing, like do a bit of an audit, like you would, like as a financial budget, where am I spending my money? Well, where am I spending my time? And like, how am I spending my time? You can probably find time to make your life run smoother and actually organise the shit that you don't be doing. It's like, if you went through your budget, you're like, I spend how much on coffee and I've got these subscriptions to this, I don't even fucking use it. It's the same with your time. Like you're probably wasting your time on shit that doesn't matter, like unnecessary things. So that's the final proactive point I thought I've written down in my notes is what am I currently doing and how can I improve this?
It's so important. And that's why actually as part of my onboarding process for my clients, right, I've recorded a time management and a kind of create your perfect routine webinar. And they have to go through that before they even have their like initial starting call, which is you come to me with a routine, then together we perfect that routine. Because unless you do that kind of back end work first, I give you coaching on top of your non-negotiables in life, your career, you're going to lose your head. So unless we've got that, you know, in order and you have something to refer to, as in, you know, we said that you're going to train at this time, then everything's going to be really overwhelming. And I think that's so important. And also where you said doing an audit of your time. I remember doing this once in prep, right? Where I was just like, okay, I've got all of this to do today. Like I need to, you know, put up an Instagram post most days. So then I'm going to time myself. It takes me like 20 minutes to write an Instagram post. By the time I'd edited the picture, written the caption, and finally got like my brain cells to start working, 45 minutes had gone. And I was like, 45 minutes a day on an Instagram post? Are you shitting me? And there was a big change after that. So I think it's really, really important for people to actually delve into how they are spending their time, because you can't get it back. And even though I don't think it's a healthy way to kind of put pressure on yourself with a huge amount of like time pressure within your life, because then that adds to the stress, it is important to be ruthless with your time and make sure that you are putting it towards the things where it needs to go to.
I think it's worth pointing out that if I don't do that, I'll get nothing done. Like I'm the sort of person that needs like a gun to my head to do shit. That's why I've got like that sort of personality where I can just flip. I'm like, I need time pressure, and that's me understanding myself. If I haven't got time pressure, I've always said if I worked a normal job, I'd get sacked within a week, because I couldn't sit at a desk. If someone's like, Matt, can you write this report? I'm like, no, tell me to do it in an hour and I'll do it in an hour, because I'll Parkinson's law. But for me, unless I've got time pressure, nothing's getting done.
Yeah. So from this, guys, you have so many tips to go and sort out your time, to sort out those difficult conversations, delegate things, prioritize things, and also make sure that you're just being kind to yourself. Like, is the most important thing when it comes to these stressful moments, and communicating that with whoever you can to make sure that it is getting adapted for you. So thank you so much, Matt. I really, really appreciate it. And I would love for you to just kind of give your details in terms of where people can find you. Of course, I'll leave them in the description below.
Thank you very much. Well, firstly, it's been an absolute pleasure coming on. It's so nice to speak to people that have got a similar approach in mind. So I always think I probably sound like some sort of weird bloke, sort of the way I approach life, but it's nice to see that other people have got that equally crazy but really positive approach to it. So it's really nice. So I'm Matt_PhysiqueCollective on Instagram. That's pretty much where I go. We've got the Physique Collective website, which is our membership site. I'll be honest, it's tailored more to like to more physique development rather than just like lifestyle. So there's that. If you've got any questions at all, I'm more than happy just to answer them on Instagram. I do weekly Q&As and things like that. But yeah, that's typically where to find me. And once again, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure to talk about one of my favourite topics.
Thank you so much, Matt. I've just remembered, actually, I tend to ask this question to everyone at the end of a podcast. And I think it would be really rude of me not to ask you if we got to the end of this one. But I want to hear, what is the most pivotal change in your mindset that has allowed you to get to where you are now in life?
Okay, so this is going to sound quite deep, okay? So I've always had a really like weird view on life from quite a young age. So it isn't. I'm quite old, right? So I'm 34. I'm relatively, I know I look younger, that's what you just tell me, right? But I'm actually quite old relatively, and everyone always thinks it comes with age. And I've always felt this way. So when I was young, probably about 7 or 8, around that sort of age, my dad was diagnosed with a brain tumor. My mum had breast cancer at the same time. So this isn't a cry for help, by the way, honestly, it's fine. But at that time, you sort of don't really know what's going on. And they could have both died. My dad actually died and was resuscitated in hospital. And when that sort of gets explained to you and you sort of get a bit aware of it, like maybe like 10 years old, it was a moment, and I was like, I could have been an author, but I wasn't. And I think it was in that moment, it was like, that kind of sums up life. Like, you can choose to see good in the bad net and everything, because people always go, oh my God, that's such a bad thing to go through. I'm like, they're still here though. And I was like, 99% of the time in that situation, they wouldn't have been. Like, it was literally one of those sliding doors moments where if Dad hadn't come back from the resuscitation, that was it. I haven't got Dad anymore. And I think it was probably that moment once I realised that the sort of gravity of that, it was like, you've always got the ability to view things in a different way, but also it gives me that sense of, I saw something from Jordan Peterson the other day, and he said, I've had a very good understanding of mortality. And I think from that moment, I understood mortality, that life was always meant for living. And I've kind of, since then, I'm a little bit of a shit, because I've always said I'm impossible to parent, impossible to marry, manage, because I've always done it my way, always done the things that I want to do, but that's led to a much happier life. And I think it was probably in that moment where I realised that it kind of all clicked for me. And I went, right, that's, once you get the understanding of it, that was the realisation of when my mindset changed. So a bit of a deep one, but that was the moment.
I adore it. And you know what? After that story, it's made me realise maybe why we do have such similar mindsets, because I think it all boils down to, we're just grateful. Like, it's just gratitude for every single thing. You know, there is a silver lining. We're still here. We're still healthy. We can still walk. Like, it's that mindset, I think, where you go through so much shit at a very young age. And to hear, you know, as you said, you know, being that close to mortality, you're a bit like, well, I suppose death is the worst case scenario, right? And even then, when you're dead, it doesn't matter because you're dead. So that's probably why you're listening to two of the most zen as fuck people, to be honest. It will work itself out.
It'll be fine. And I think ultimately, you've always got the ability to change the way you view a situation. And it always makes me, when I tell people that story, everyone looks like, well, that's like shocked about, like, oh, that's my family situation. See what it is. And they're like, oh my God. I'm like, no, don't feel sorry. It's not like a cry for help. It's more the sense of, how lucky am I that this is the life I've had, as opposed to what it could have been, rather than people go, oh my God, woe is me. It's like, no, actually, I've had a fucking great opportunity here. Like, how lucky am I? You flip it. You can always flip a situation. I think that's a great example, like a great example of where you could do it. And yeah, I think it's perception is everything, I think, in these things.
Amen to that. Honestly, what an awesome episode. Definitely one of my favorites so far. Thank you so much. If this hasn't flipped anyone's perspective of life, then you need to go back and listen to it again, because I'm sure if you listen to it enough times, it will. So thank you so much, Matt, for joining me. I really, really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone for listening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll catch you in the next one. Much love.